standing in the possibility of a dream life made for you and me. What I know I never knew before, when I opened my heart, I opened up to explore.
Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce on Let's Find Out. How is everybody doing tonight? We're almost to the phase of Mercury coming out of retrograde, so I promise you life will get better next week. Tonight we have a wonderful subject that we're going to be discussing, past lives and past life regression. Have we ever lived before? Thousands, perhaps a million of us, believe that we certainly have, and many different lifetimes. The people who are in your life now were in your lives in other lives as well, for good or for ill. Every close relationship we have in this lifetime is to bring us a lesson, as well as to the other person. We soul link up with each other to fulfill karmic contracts and to give each other an opportunity to clear the karma that's left over from any previous past life. Many well-known personalities of all ages, including some of the world's greatest philosophers, poets, writers, musicians, ministers, priests, scientists, inventors, and statesmen have believed in reincarnation. Throughout history, in all societies and civilizations, humans have struggled to find answers to life's injustices and randomness. The concept of reincarnation and past lives help to explain for the seeming inequalities of life, why someone was born handicapped, why someone may have been born rich or poor. Most of us have had at least one significant past life that's had an important impact on this life. Perhaps it's a life where you played a major role in the world and your soul wants you to understand that. Perhaps it's a life where you displayed some great skill and abilities that your soul wants you to connect with, so you can benefit from that knowledge and work with that expression of your soul during that incarnation to bring those skills in for this lifetime. Perhaps there is simply something that your soul wishes you to understand and remember from a past life so that you can apply the knowledge today. There are so many things that can come from past life sessions, and some choose to have more than one session because there's so much they want to understand in their lives. My guest tonight is Barbara Foltz, who is a licensed psychologist and has been practicing for over 25 years, providing a solid background and working with clients. As a past life therapist, her expertise substantiates the need for successful healing systems and the benefit of doing so in the context of reincarnation. Her clients respond to these approaches well and find the healing potential enlightening and amazing. Good evening, Barbara. It's wonderful to have you with us.
Well, hello, and I am delighted to be here.
I would like you to tell us how a psychologist found out about the past life regression and how you know that it heals. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, first of all, I do need to say that the universe has a very interesting way of making something happen. In 2000, I dislocated my collarbone, and it didn't heal with a great deal of medical intervention. And just as surgery was something that was being discussed, it was suggested that it would be helpful for me to explore reincarnation and the influence that the past lives might have on my collarbone and the discomfort that I was feeling.
Oh, that's interesting.
And that led me into psychotherapy, and a whole host of understandings began to unfold. The first image I had was of bare black feet and a calico skirt. And I soon named her Calico Lady.
That's
and Calico
cute.
Lady was a house slave in the late 1600 to the 1700s in what is now Alabama. Hmm. When I saw that image and when I began to learn more about Calico Lady, she somehow was familiar. I may not have known anything about her, but it resonated, and that's a term that I find happens so many times that as we uncover a past life, it so often resonates.
And by resonate, I feel that you're saying you feel something inside. You recognize it. You can almost touch it, but it feels still invisible.
Yes, and I like that word, recognize, because it can be at a very deep level, but somehow there is a recognition. And so Calico Lady was very angry. She was a house slave and mistreated. And I began to have to deal with Calico Lady, which wasn't always the easiest thing to do, but we worked through it, and she has become one of those major past lives that really has influenced my life.
In this lifetime. That's great. So now, you brought forward that knowledge into this lifetime to help with some issues in this lifetime.
Absolutely. I could feel her anger, and I could feel her sense of being a discard. And so I had to work through that, and I had to begin to see how that was influencing my life today.
It's funny how we bring those vibrations in with us, with the soul. We bring some of those discarding and I'm not good enough and nobody, you know, I never get a break type thing in with the soul. And I guess we bring it in to heal. But it's interesting how we do that.
Well, it is very interesting. And if we ignore the possibilities, I think we ignore a great opportunity for growth. And that's what our soul needs. That's why our soul incarnates over and over again, to mature and develop and evolve.
When you're doing your work, Barbara, have you ever had a flash? Have you ever met a person and had a flash of another face? Or maybe even as you're working with a client, you have a flash of a memory or another face. For me, it's like it's a black and white picture and the face is always in fog. And I wondered if you'd ever had that experience.
I'm not sure that I see the face when I'm talking with someone, but I will say that when I am talking with somebody, I have a sense of having been with them before. And there is a memory of how that might have transpired. And sometimes,
so you would know if it was a friend or a mother or a grandmother or something. You would feel that with the person when you're talking to them?
Yes, and also we begin to explore that. I work very hard to make sure that this is compatible with my client, mm-hmm. and then when that is something that we agree upon, we begin to explore. And it's been fascinating how many people have come into my office, I think, for that express purpose of working something out with me.
I want to restate that if I can. As you know, I do astrology. And I also teach psychic sensitivity and intuitive awareness classes. And I mm-hmm. tell everybody that comes to my classes, you came here because of something in your past life, something in your past or in your chart that harmonizes with mine. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Isn't that very similar to what you're saying?
Absolutely. I feel as though people are into my sphere for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I honor that and enjoy the exploration.
And how did you begin, when did you take the past life after you had your Calico Lady? When did you start using that in your office, in your work with your clients?
Well, as I began to heal, and be aware that I have uncovered over 100 past lives, so I have done a lot of work with these past lives, which has given me experience. And then I discovered that this approach helped my clients work through issues that didn't respond to traditional psychotherapy. So now I wear two hats. I'm a psychologist.
Oh, that's great.
Life therapist.
I found it out when I started doing past life regressions. I started doing them in a group setting. But then I would have clients come that couldn't seem to let go either of a boyfriend or of some kind of a disease. And I decided I would start to regress and to see where I could find what I call the moment of charge, where the first emotion that they were feeling came on the body. When did it come? Did it come in this lifetime? Did it come in a past lifetime? Which lifetime? What year? And that type of thing. And I was able to have people go back to way in the past, and sometimes it was present life regression, or sometimes it was past life regression, and they would find the spot where they first felt that pain, and they would describe it to me, and then when they came out of the regression, they no longer had the dis-ease.
Yes, it's an amazing transformation that can occur when they do go back to that point where the trauma occurred, and where that pain began to become so powerful that it intruded on their soul and experience and therefore needed to be dealt with in order to be able to go forward now.
Well, I think it's great that you can use your work and truly uplift the soul, because I do believe that that's what past life regressions are all about. And we're going to hear a little ditty by Patti Page that was familiar a long time ago, but it's going back to the past and remembering. Let's listen to Patti.
Try to remember the kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and gray was yellow. Try to remember the kind of September when you were a tender and callow fellow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then follow. Try to remember when life was so tender that no one wept except the willow. Try to remember when life was so tender that dreams were kept beside your pillow. Try to remember when life was so tender that love was an ember about to billow. Try to remember, and if you remember, then follow.
And that was Patti Page singing Try to Remember. Kind of makes me feel like I'm dancing in the 1800s with my beloved, Barbara.
Yes, I think so. I'm sure that Patti Page did not sing that song with the idea of reincarnation, but it sure does fit well.
You know, I have found that going back into our past experiences, both present life and past life, helps with forgiveness. What do you think about that?
You know, I think that sometimes it's forgiveness and sometimes it's healing. I think
okay.
that we need to understand that when we lived a past life, we did the very best we could. And so the circumstances can vary from one past life to another. And I think we need to heal and understand why a person did those things that they did.
Or why something happened to them that happened.
Yes, and I believe that we need to have all kinds of different experiences in order for our soul to mature and develop. And so we have a variety of them, and it's important that we live lives from both perspectives. So the Hindus might say a person needs to be wealthy and also learned how to live in poverty. We need
that's
to
correct.
Understand it from all different directions.
And that's part of what past lives do. As a matter of fact, I, as you know, study with Amrita Nandamayi, and she teaches that all of us have had the lower forms of life as well as the higher forms of life, and that we've experienced royalty, we've experienced poverty and starvation, and we're in the lifetime now where we can make a difference and make it better for others.
Yes, and I believe that if we heal those past life, what I call legacies, I believe that we can live a more fulfilling life now. And then when we go into our future life, we don't have to deal with that issue if we've already healed it. And that's part of the challenge of our lifetime now.
Yeah, I think that's exciting. I do believe that we set up future lives, and I do believe that we set it up by the actions that we take in this lifetime. One of the greatest things that I've been able to do, and it's really a great thing for me because it was a tough life when I was younger, is to change my reactions, change my negativity. Try to understand how I would have reacted if that happened 10 years ago and how I'm reacting differently now, and then give myself a pat on the back.
That you can see the changes.
Yes.
And celebrate those changes.
But sometimes...
As I talked about Calico Lady and I talked about how she was so angry, I found that her anger was becoming part of my life. And so that
right.
was... a motivation for me to deal with Calico Lady and heal her.
That's
sometimes
good. You know, there are people.
Sometimes I did that through imagery. Sometimes I did that through the therapy that I do, which is the heart-assisted therapy. And a part of it was simply conversing with her and helping her to be supported and cared about.
Right. I think that... That's important. And I also think that when you start to feel the shadow, I call it the shadow when the negativity comes, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to feel that shadow and you see yourself reacting that you know is negative and has always been negative. And you also know that when that shadow comes and you act that way, that you're going to bring pain to yourself. And that could be a great motivation for making the change.
Yes, I think that when we feel that negativity or that pain, it can be a clue that we need to investigate further.
And what I find sometimes, and I don't know why this happens, is that you'll get one and then the next one and then the next one and then the next one. I will. It'll be the same experience with a different face. I'll have an argument with this one and then I'll have an argument with that one. And sometimes I won't even know there's going to be an argument coming and it comes. And you wonder why that happens. That's got to be some kind of a signal that you need to change your response.
Well, and there may well be a common thread to all of those reactions that you have at a particular time. And it can be a signal that says, this is the time to start dealing with whatever it is that's triggering you. I think we need to pay attention to those triggers because there's a whole wealth of growth and information that we can utilize if we do that.
Yes. And can you give us an example of a generic example maybe of one of your clients that did a regression and really healed from it?
Yes, I can tell you about a woman. First of all, one of the legacies that we may well have are emotional legacies. I have a client who was suicidal. And
mm-hmm.
she had dealt with that in her current life and was past it. But all of a sudden, a suicidal ideology began to surface, and we knew that we needed to look at a deeper level, and we needed to look at a past life issue. And so we did that, and the issue for her was one of having failed at her very important value of loyalty and protecting those she loved. Hmm. And so in this past life, she had failed to protect the ones she loved, and that began to emerge as an issue. Once we dealt with that past life, it was just amazing, Elizabeth. Her whole suicidal feelings just subsided.
They just left. They were gone.
Yes. And so... I mean, that was certainly one of those very almost life and death kind of issues that we needed to deal with, because the suicidal feelings had really taken over.
Hmm.
So I think it's really important for all people to look at those symptoms, whether they're physical or emotional or situational, and try to deal with them. You know, perhaps first in their current life and make sure that they've dealt with them there, and then start looking at whatever influence there might be from a past life.
And that's a little scary for people. And they go, past life, what are you talking about? This is what's happening now. I don't care about a past life. I've heard a lot of people say that. It can be very scary for them to even think about going into a past life. And then they'll go, well, is this hypnosis? Are you trying to trick me? So how do you get faith and trust instilled in that client to do it?
Well, first of all, when I work with a client, we do develop that trust. We develop that sense of their knowing that I have their best interests at heart. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a person will decide to investigate the past life route because nothing is working any other way. They can't resolve what's going on in their current lives, and so sometimes it's out of anxiety, sometimes out of desperation.
Desperation was what I was feeling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm willing to try it. Although I think I would have to say that it's amazing how many people are very comfortable with at least the idea. They may not believe totally in reincarnation, but they have a sense that, I've sort of thought about past lives. So that when I mention it, they are not taken aback, and they are not aghast at the whole idea.
Oh, that's good. And there's some wonderful books that can be read about past lives, too. Ruth Montgomery, the author, Ruth Montgomery, has written some wonderful books about past lives, just for the people that are listening to hear, if they can get some information. And don't you have a new book coming out?
I do have a new book coming out. It's called Hidden Treasures from Past Lives. And it should come out as an ebook in a couple weeks, and then as a paper book in 3 or 4 months.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm thrilled for you. I'm sure you have some great treasures in there. I wanted to tell you about one that I had. Her name was Dinah, and she came to my house, and she was desperate. She was facing surgery at 26 and about to get married, and it was cancer of the uterus. And she didn't understand why this was happening to her. And so we did a past life regression. And part of it was that she had not forgiven her father for however he had treated her when she was younger. And even when, in her first session, when that came up, she did not want to forgive the father in the past life or the one in this lifetime. And she was raising her fist and saying, I won't do it. So I said, okay, we're done. Go home. And so she did. And the night before surgery, my phone rang at 9 o'clock p.m. and it was her. And she came over and she was in tears. Something had broken through her subconscious and she was ready to do another past life and the forgiveness. And we went and did it. And I also said, why don't we practice and do the surgery tomorrow? Let's do it etherically. So we put her in this hospital operating room, and I had it all surrounded with lights, and I had the doctor there, and we took all the cancer and rolled it into a black ball, and we handed it to the doctor, and we told her that she was physically and emotionally free of any hate and any cancer and anything eating at her, and then we cleared her out and filled it with light, and she went and had that surgery. When she went back 6 weeks later, the doctor was almost in tears. He said he had had an incredible day, that there was an energy going through his hands that he had never felt before, that he had done 6 surgeries, and all 6 people were cancer-free after the surgery. And one of them had been a little boy, a 6-year-old boy with a brain tumor. And he never thought that child was going to make it without brain damage. And the child was running and jumping and laughing and smiling. It was amazing.
Don't you just love when it all comes together like that?
I do. I love it when that happens.
Yes, it's such a miracle. You know, you mentioned about somebody coming with a problem, and I think about women who are wanting to become pregnant and just simply can't. And sometimes what I have found is that if we go back into the past lives, we find that the woman had some kind of difficulty around either having a child or becoming pregnant. And once we clear that up, the body is then willing to entertain the whole idea of pregnancy in this current life. It removes an obstacle
That, yeah, it removes a set condition. She changes the condition, the past life condition that she set.
Mm-hmm.
I'll explain that after we come back. Let me have your website, please.
My website is Barbara K. Foltz, BarbaraKFoltz.com.
Great.
And on my website, I have information about myself as well as several articles that I blog and have a newsletter. So it's a nice place to be able to get some information.
That's great. And my website is www.new-visions.com. And we'll be back after the commercial break. Ascension. Accessing the Fifth Dimension, The Truth About 2012. This is a new book by Elizabeth Joyce. People are being shaken awake. Sometimes it takes a kick in the pants to wake us up. Looking from a higher perspective, we are experiencing birth pangs of a higher consciousness, the fifth dimension. The three spatial dimensions of height, width, and length, along with the fourth dimension of time and timelessness, we are familiar with. But what is the fifth dimension energies? Mark Dodich, astrologer, says if you are opening to a greater spiritual dimension of your inner self, then this is the book for you. Ascension, how to access the fifth dimension. Go to www.new-visions.com or amazon.com and get the book. It's a must read. Let's Find Out is looking for guests for our summer and fall shows of 2011 on bbsradio.com. This is a special opportunity for you. Do you have a life-changing product or service such as coaching, books, holistic products, workshops, animal psychics, psychic readings, or some special metaphysical talent that you would like to advertise? Here is your opportunity to be prominently presented before a worldwide loyal Let's Find Out audience. There is a fee required to be included in this exciting promotional lineup, and the proceeds enable you to be advertised all week on Let's Find Out as well as Facebook, and to receive your show archives for you to put up on your website. Let's Find Out is a life-changing show and home to many groups throughout the world. Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com, Station 1, is a live internet radio show with several worldwide affiliates. We discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, ghosts, talking to the other side, past lives, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience as well as a 6,000-plus name mailing list. Every week we promote our guests. This show is truly a great way to advertise yourself and your business. As a BBS host, we will promote you on bbsradio.com as well as Facebook. We send out an email to our extensive fan base promoting your appearance on Let's Find Out. BBS Radio will provide an archive within 24 hours after your show airs, which is free to download for you to share with your clients and participants. As a guest, you will be able to advertise on Let's Find Out when you're on the air on bbsradio.com, Station 1, Sunday evenings for 2 hours every other week, 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. And also, you will be able to advertise your appearance on your website and blog and email and invite all of your contacts. So let's hear from you. Simply send me an email to elizabeth.joyce.radio@gmail.com and we would be happy to look at what you have to offer. Looking forward to sharing and for you being on the air. Thank you.
Elizabeth Joyce was born with the gift of knowledge and the gift of healing, and she has studied with some of the world's best teachers to perfect her gifts. Elizabeth believes that knowledge is the key to the soul, and she's created a teaching and informative website. The website, new-visions.com, has more than 1 million visitors since 2005, and Visions of Reality can help you guide your future by working within. Elizabeth teaches developing intuitive awareness classes, and she writes informative articles and books, as well as personal one-on-one counseling with her psychic awareness. For more than 30 years, she has worked with clients worldwide to help them reach their highest potential. She removes blocks, talks with the other side, performs regressions, and clears haunted spaces. She'll guide your finances, love life, relationships, and family life, empowering you to move forward and create a life of balance and pleasure. So visit new-visions.com for more information.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free holistic publications, with 150,000 copies printed bimonthly in three regional print editions: New England, New York, and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania and Delaware. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information to the community. Elizabeth Joyce writes the astrology column for Wisdom Magazine. Visit us at wisdommagazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. This summer, in late August, August 26th through 28th, a summer retreat is being held at the Mount Eden Retreat House in Washington, New Jersey. This retreat is called 2012 Ascension Mastery, and it's with Elizabeth Joyce, Malachi and Alana of the Andes, and songstress Elaine Silver. You're all invited to join us on this incredible spiritual journey as we prepare for 2012 and Ascension Mastery. This retreat will consist of deep meditations, high vibrational healing sessions, group exercises to join us together, as well as individual attention to help you release your present and past life pain. Experience your vibration as it rises to its highest level. Get to know the spiritual chakras, 8 through 12, and Alana's whirling dances to promote the unity consciousness, which is the last step to prepare for on the Mayan calendar as we enter 2012. Elaine Silver's melodious voice will melt your heart as it opens wide to embrace and absorb universal consciousness and divine love. Elaine Silver sings our intro song here at Let's Find Out. Her original music alone will put you in a state of divine bliss. Malaku asks us to become a part of a new species of human beings endowed with unlimited consciousness, and he teaches this is the best time to absorb these new energies consciously. Elizabeth Joyce, in her book Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, explains how we are coming into our mastery power and shows us how. This world needs more of us to tune into the deepest needs and expressions of our soul. The new DNA strands in your soul are activating natural forces beyond current understanding. The wonderment begins upon your arrival at the Mount Eden Retreat Center in Washington, New Jersey, whose staff is dedicated to meeting your every need. You will have a spacious room for the seminar and classes, shared rooms or a private one, delicious vegetarian food, there's possible camping, and the outdoor setting to hike and explore, as well as a fireside meditation every evening. For the first time, our solar system is standing in the balance our galactic sisters have brought to us, and we can begin to tune in and experience the changes and new ways of expression this energy and love will bring. This group of international teachers are of the best and encourage us to allow the mind to be free, flowing with a natural rhythm aligning with the spiritual heart center, the 10th chakra. Discover and attain the mastery within you as you open up to your higher power, reawaken your inner talents, and move forward with certainty, strength, and accomplishment. To survive the fifth dimension waves of the coming galactic alignment and universal changes, this retreat is one not to miss. The dates of the retreat are August 26th through August 28th, 2011. For further information, contact Elizabeth Joyce at 201-934-8986. See you in August! You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Elizabeth Joyce and her guests come to you every other Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a podcast of the show will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link on the Let's Find Out page at bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out. Tonight in the Metaphysical Book Corner, we offer hidden treasures from past lives. Case studies and action steps assist in resolving issues affecting you now, by Barbara Foltz. Partly spiritual and partly a guidebook for those seeking illumination of their own past, this groundbreaking work is slotted for release in late 2011. Have you ever had a reaction that did not make sense or was stronger than expected? Has your body experienced strange symptoms that seem to have no root cause? Have you had reactions to certain people, places, or situations that cause you to want to connect or instantly disconnect? Of course, we all have. Join Barbara Foltz on a journey unlike any you've ever before taken. With hidden treasures from past lives, readers experience the rare opportunity to explore experiences from past lives that are actually altering their lives today. A past life regression is a wonderful tool for healing past traumas. When you go back into a past life and you realize the trauma that's causing whatever upset you have now, and you see it within yourself as you go through the past life regression, when you come out of the regression, the trauma is healed. We don't know why that happens, but it seems to happen on many occasions, which is why past life regression therapy is so valuable today. Within the pages of Hidden Treasures from Past Lives, Barbara Foltz offers the chance to discover, challenge, and heal whatever lingers from past lives that can often prevent us from living more full lives now. This is a chance to turn those past life moments into treasures. Author, psychologist, and therapist Barbara Foltz has helped many clients resolve issues that seem to be out of reach if only current life experiences are considered, opening the door to allow the concept of reincarnation to play a part in our healing and growing provides a path toward a more fulfilling life in this lifetime. Through her unique combination of intuition, energy, psychotherapy, and hypnotherapy techniques, she invites you to go onto a journey into the past. Hidden treasures from past lives. Case studies and action steps assisting in resolving issues affecting you in the present moment, by Barbara Foltz. Go out and pick it up or pre-order it on Amazon.com. You'll be glad you did. You will gain some insights about yourself, your life, and we will all find out how to improve ourselves.
Remember me as I remember you. I know many years have passed, yet I still can't forget the love we shared. Do you ever regret the day you turned and walked away, leaving a dream behind, one I never could find again? Life went on without you. I willed you from my mind, but still the memory lingers. got to say goodbye. Do you every now and then breathe a sigh, shed a tear for me, wishing we were together still in love the way that we used to be?
Como singing Do You Remember Me? This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and tonight we're talking about past life regression and remembering people in this lifetime who we may have known in another lifetime. My guest is Barbara Foltz. She's a psychologist and a past life regressionist. Is that correct, Barbara? Did I say that correctly?
Life therapist.
Past life therapist. Good. Well, welcome back. You were talking in your book about legacies, and I was talking a little bit about karma. Can you kind of straighten that out for us? I'd like to know what you mean by legacies.
Well, I believe that karma and legacies have just a little different kind of approach, but I think that they complement one another. Mm-hmm. For me, karma gives meaning to life in a generalized overview of soul development. So through karma, we know that we need to experience many different situations through many lifetimes for developing and maturing our soul. So karma is not a punishment, but a learning tool. So that gives that general sense of how we choose different kinds of lifetimes in order to have different kinds of experiences. When I talk about legacies, I talk about legacies as that they address the more specific consequences of the individual lifetimes, and they can help or hinder the current and future lifetimes.
So is that like making a decision? I make a decision to get angry, or I make a decision to ignore it. Would that be a legacy?
Well, I would say that a legacy would be, if we're talking about Calico Lady, the legacy from Calico Lady is that she has anger that's left over. They are like leftovers from past lives, so that she was angry because of the way she was treated, and so that legacy then came into my life because we share the same soul.
And karmically, it would be that you could not in that lifetime do anything about how you were treated. So because that wasn't healed, that was brought over into this lifetime.
Yes, and we make choices in each past life, and some of those choices we do very well with, and some of those choices that we make in a past life are not the greatest. And so sometimes it's those choices of what I would call a negative legacy is what we need to heal in this lifetime.
And sometimes in this lifetime we do the same thing again.
We do. And that's why it's so important to correct and heal the legacy now, so that we don't have to encounter that in the next lifetime.
And what do you find repetitive legacies? Do you find that in the past life they had the same problem as in this life, and then maybe in another past life they had the same problem?
Yes, and I call those themes, Elizabeth. And so sometimes we find a theme of anger or violence that seems to be occurring with the same soul in all the different lifetimes. Or there may be an issue around weight. And sometimes in a past life, trauma may have happened while that person was very thin. In another lifetime, trauma may have happened while they were very heavy. And so they begin to make an association about weight and what its effect on their life might be. And so sometimes we will see in this current life somebody who has a theme of weight issues that they have yo-yo diets. So that they, sometimes they respond to that legacy of, well, I better be thin because then I won't get hurt. Mm-hmm. And then a little bit later they may decide to put on weight because they're now responding to that legacy in which weight was the protection. And so if we go back and look at those different past lives around that theme of weight, then we can begin to start, in a sense, almost calming the system down in our current life and letting the person make the choices about their weight according to what works for them in this life without being affected by the ups and downs and the legacies of those past lives.
Well, you know, I worked with a man by the name of Dick Summer in New York City years ago, mm-hmm. and he had a theory that I'd like to share with you. Maybe you can give me your opinion. When a person has a weight problem, he was mm-hmm. talking about changing the mind and allowing the mind to change the form of the body. And, of course, it has to go very, very deep inside. And I guess that in the process of doing that, you would heal whatever was holding the weight. But he would say to go into the shower and to look at the water drops as fat cells rolling off your body and to put your hands on the part of your body where you felt there was extra weight and to see it melt. And it worked for people.
Well, that's a wonderful imagery. What I would add to that is that the body needs to be ready to accept that it's okay to lose that weight.
Well, in the process of doing it, you would do it like every single day, and it would take about a month. He also had you cut I cut a picture of Farrah Fawcett out of a magazine, I remember, and put my head where her head was, and I put it on my refrigerator door, and mm-hmm. I visualized myself looking like her. And I did lose about 60 pounds at that time.
Amazing what imagery can do for us.
But what I was asking is, as you do the shower process and the imagery process, aren't you healing in the subconscious layers, whatever the legacy is?
Yes, and you know what I would suggest in doing that is to put out the intention and the invitation that whatever past life influences might be present, that they be healed as you do that imagery. And so make it an invitation that you would ask that the past life influences to be present so that they can be healed as you do some of that imagery.
And most of that is fear anyway. It's fear. You've got it because of fear of being fat. You've got it because of fear of being too attractive, or you fear that you're going to not be loved, or you fear that you're going to have too much love. It's all fear, don't you think?
Well, and I think a lot of the time it's fear, and we have to look at where did that fear originate.
Right. And usually it's in a past life hidden somewhere.
That's right. Sometimes the fear comes from a current life situation, and we need to deal with that. Sometimes it comes from a past life experience, and so we need to investigate that as well. And the combination makes for a wonderful, fulfilling life and happiness and enjoyment, satisfaction.
And that's because you feel like you're doing something about it, like you're taking an action in doing these exercises or even having a regression. You are actively doing something to help and heal yourself. And that helps on all levels, don't you think, Barbara?
Well, it does. And I think that any time we feel like we have some kind of control and hope, it lifts our spirits, and it really is such a benefit.
Right, and I know that some people say, well, you can't live on hope, but a lot of people certainly do. They live on hope and faith. So anyway, I wanted to tell you another one because we're in such a economy crunch. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell you another one that I learned from Dick Summer, who now lives in Pennsylvania, by the way. He lives in Media. He's terrific. He taught us a money thing for money. He said that money is energy. And the more that you put into something, the more that you'll get back through energy, either energetically somebody will come and give you a hug, or monetarily you'll be paid for your services. And that you always have to be paid for a service that you're asked to give. And if you're with somebody that doesn't want to take the money, then you have to stop seeing that person, because otherwise you're building up karma. But he would teach us to open our palms, close our eyes, and see $100 bills fall into our palms. And we could put the pile as high as we wanted. And he was teaching us not to have greed, but to have enough to meet your needs. And it's quite an exercise because sometimes I can't get any dollar bills into my hands. So I found that to be another very interesting thing for the economy or for helping yourself. But it can work. It does work sometimes. But then it can come in the form of a phone call. Would you like to go to work for me? It doesn't have to be somebody handing you a check. You know, it can be somebody asking you to do something that you'll get paid for.
Well, and I often think about how we have to be ready to succeed and receive whatever it is that we're asking for. We have to be able to put out that as an intention that feels healing and right.
You know, the World Council of Churches has an abundance poem, and I've used it so many times. And it goes like this: money comes to me and flows through me and back out to do the good.
Well, that certainly is a very positive way to look at money, that it comes through and then goes
and
out.
Back, yes. Right, it circulates, and we have to see it as a circulating thing, as a flow, just like energy flows. Because the minute that you don't do that, then you've got an issue with it, and you're freezing yourself up to receiving. When you see money as your energy, as flowing, as if you put it out, you'll get it back. Usually you're working it out so that you can be taken care of. But when you say, oh, I've got to have that, I've got to have it, I'm so afraid, I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, I'm so afraid, then you're putting up a wall, a barrier. Would that be a legacy?
Well, I think certainly that all depends on your motivation, doesn't it? And I think that if there... hypothetical example, mm-hmm. if somebody in a past life either used money in a very cruel way, they may well need to experience what it's like to be at a more at a poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
I think that yes.
But that may not always be true. It may be that you haven't gotten to the point of being able to receive, and you may always have had to be taken care of for this reason or that, and you don't know how to receive money. It's not that you necessarily misused it in the past life. Maybe it just didn't come to you, or you didn't have to have that responsibility of worrying about it.
You know, I think that there are so many possible scenarios. And so the scenario that you're talking about certainly can be one of those that would be a legacy from a past life that we need to confront and deal with. And then I believe that the money will flow in a much more beneficial kind of way.
You know, I see these kids, these teenagers, just not wanting to have a future and not wanting to work for their grades, or, you know, they're just excusing everything. And you wonder if they ever think about where it all comes from. Where does it all come from? We have parents that take care of us, and then all of a sudden we're on our own. That's a shock for many people, don't you think?
Yes, it is. It can be a rude awakening. I think that everybody has to come to that place where they realize that it depends on them to really make a go of it and take that responsibility.
Self-responsibility is a big thing. What do you think about this new generation that is the society or that's thinking that they're owed something?
Bad.
That we come in groups. I'm bringing it up because I'm very aware that we come in groups, and I'm very aware that this is a generation that's coming that thinks they're owed everything, and if they make a mistake or if they're wrong about anything, they cannot say so. They either have to blame somebody else or ignore it. It is so bad. It has become so bad that when I play card games on Yahoo to relax and somebody's losing the game, they'll go. They'll quit. Mm. And I just laugh.
Yeah, so it certainly is a different perspective, isn't it? And yet, you know, I think that there is also a sense that our society is growing more spiritually and becoming more aware of the whole wide range, whether it's reincarnation or whether it's spiritual growth. And so my hope is that that particular part of our society will continue to expand.
The spiritual part, yes.
The spiritual part, yes.
Well, let's talk about love affairs. How do we find love affairs in our past lives? And does having a love affair affect us giving love? And what is this about the soulmate?
Well, I believe that a lot of times we choose, I'm going to leave that soulmate for it to talk about in a minute, but if we just simply talk about people we are attracted to and have these love affairs with, or marry, I believe that these between lives, there are many choices that are made about what kind of life we're going to live in the next lifetime and the people with whom we're going to incarnate. And oftentimes, the people that we're going to incarnate with play some kind of a role. Sometimes it's because there is unfinished business. So, for example, let's just say that there's a married couple in a past life,
mm-hmm.
and one of the couple betrayed the other, and so now in this current life, they have remarried, and one holds the anger because they were the betrayed, and the other holds the guilt because they were the betrayer. They're attracted to one another because they have something that they need to work out. And what can often happen in this current life relationship is that there's no relationship, but it's a up and down kind of situation. A lot of arguing and fighting back and forth.
The yo-yo.
Yes, and so they need to deal with why it is that they're together and investigate. Maybe there's a reason of why they were attracted, and if they can work it out, then they're going to be free to either continue on with that relationship or get out of the relationship. It may be that it served its purpose and they will move to another relationship. A client who was attracted to this man who, in her most logical sense, she knew was not good for her, and yet emotionally she kept going back to him over and over and over again.
Oh, I see it all the time.
Yes, and so until she really understood what the past life legacies were around this man, until she found that and realized it, she was not able to let go of this very dysfunctional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Once she did it, she could let it go. And I think that today, so many times, we find ourselves in relationships that just are not working. Other people can say to us, you know, why are you with that person?
Yes, that happens.
But until you come to terms with it, it's not going to go away.
And so sometimes it's hard to find the root. But
well,
when you do find it, then you have to make a choice. Is this real? Am I going to stay in the relationship because of this fear? Or am I going to prove that the fear is irrational and move on? That's hard to do.
Yes, it can be very hard to do. At least you have more information and you've done some work on your own self.
Mm-hmm.
And you have those aspects that you can now use in order to make that decision. You asked about soulmates, and I know that a lot of times people will say that they have a soulmate. I look at it from the perspective of our soul groups. Our souls are part of a primary soul group, which may be 15, 20 souls, and then there are secondary soul groups. The primary soul group is composed of the souls that we incarnate with over and over again, taking different roles.
Right.
Different,
like your immediate family or maybe your husband or children. That would be part of the primary. It's taught that. That's what we're taught.
Yes. And so I would say that in that primary soul group, that's where we're going to find our soulmates. So we may have many soulmates, and we may not necessarily want to relate to them on a romantic level.
Mm-hmm.
It may be, as you say, within the family. You may find that there are people within your family who are in your primary soul group, and they are the ones that you just have that underlying current of familiarity and comfort.
That's interesting. You know, I'm one of two sets of twins, and I never had that familiarity and comfort with my twin, ever. Still don't. But I had it with my grandmother. It's like my grandmother and I were almost the same person. And she realized my gift of being psychic and my gift of healing at a very young age. And she trained me because she was the same way. And even now I can talk to her in the other levels. And I can feel her guide me sometimes. So it's very interesting.
And that's wonderful. And I think that between lives, your soul and your grandmother's soul agreed to come into this incarnation to benefit one another and to be as
it must have been that way, because when I was five, I got TB and I had to go up to New Hampshire to live. That's where she was from. And it took me away from my family, and it taught me more in that year than I've ever learned. I learned about responsibility. I learned about being honest. I learned about, she taught me about the days to come. She told me everything that was happening now. And she taught me to love the animals. And every noontime, she'd go outside with a big hat and her apron, and she'd fill it with food and corn and all breads. And the birds and the squirrels and the chipmunks would come and eat from her hat and her apron. She did that every day. And I would watch out the window.
Yes, and what an influence that had on your whole life as it unfolded then.
It was incredible, just incredible.
And so, go
ahead.
And that's just one of the most loving kinds of things that happen. And our whole system of reincarnation is based on that love and support, I believe. And
you know, she was so special. She would teach. She had a spring, and she would always let the all the truckers come by and get their water, and they could do that for free because she felt that if they came and got their water, she had a box there if they wanted to make a contribution, but she said that would keep the water flowing for her to do that. And she didn't believe in spanking unless you put somebody else's life in danger, and then you would get spanked. But what she did was,
right?
Yeah, well, I'll have to tell you about that. What she did was she gave me a sit upon, a little straw mat, and I had to go and sit with my back against a tree, and I couldn't come back in the house until I could tell her why she was angry at me and what I had done wrong.
Sounds like a wise woman.
And then when my cousin was playing with his friends, and they put firecrackers on the railroad tracks, and he got brought home by the ear by the local sheriff, and that's when she said to him, go out in the field and cut your switch. And she made him go and cut his switch, and when he brought it back, she switched him with it.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that fabulous?
I mean, I know
back in the, I'm sure some people would say, no, that's not fabulous. She hit him. Well, back in the 20s and 30s and 40s, that was their way of life. And I just thought that the way that she disciplined was so growthful, and so the lessons that you learned were lifetime lessons, and you didn't have fear with it. You had responsibility with it.
Well, because there was love supporting it, wasn't there?
That's true. That's very, very, very true. So when completing these sessions, are there any reactions that stay in your mind more than others?
Well, it does seem to me as though some of the past lives that I've uncovered are more impactful than others, and therefore I remember them. I may find out more about that particular lifetime than I do other lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is also true that my clients find that as well. when a person is going to regress to a past life, I think that that past life often mirrors something that is going on in their current life, and that becomes the reason to go back to that past life.
I've said that for years, Barbara. I've said that you don't go back into past lives to find out if you were Madame Butterfly or Queen Elizabeth I. You go into a past life to bring healing and to bring it forth into this lifetime.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And it isn't just an exercise and, oh, let me go see what I was.
Right.
It's there for a reason. And it can help you grow and help you to heal from things that are so destructive to our lives now. Sometimes, yeah, I'm sure we've all heard of people who have phobias that don't seem to come out of the current lifetime. It seems as though they're out
right.
of context to our current life. And so if we can heal those from a past life perspective, then we can get rid of that phobia. It doesn't serve us any purpose. And so we can make that kind of change.
Okay. I think that's true. And I also think that it's interesting to know that you have had people as well that can't regress. I've had people that can't regress. And I think that's fear, don't you?
Yes. And, you know, if somebody cannot regress, my feeling is that there may be an inner wisdom that is governing that is saying that the person is not ready to go back to that past life. And I respect that, and I will honor that. That is not the thing for them to be doing at this particular time.
I told you that I did it. I do it in groups, and we've done several here, right in Doylestown. And when a girl can't regress, she gets real mad at herself. And I say, don't get mad at yourself. Come and watch the process. Come and watch somebody else do it, because we do it in groups and learn. And it's either that you aren't ready, or that you can't trust, or that you're very comfortable with who you are. And it's honoring them where they are, because mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing not to be able to regress.
And I think that it is important. You talked about fear. I think sometimes people fear what they are going to discover. It's so important when you're going back to a past life that you realize that the past life is over and done with. You're not responsible for what happened in that past life. So sometimes just being an observer
right.
and looking at it as if it's a movie on the screen.
Yeah, that's what I was taught.
Learning what you need to learn and then healing, but doing it with love for yourself as well as love for that past life.
Well, I always said that when you're sitting in the front row of the movie theater and you're watching your past life movie, that you do not have to feel the emotions of it. And if mm-hmm. the emotions do come up and overwhelm you, then we can stop the program. But you don't have to feel the emotions of it. What you're going to feel is clarity, compassion, and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get that from it, then you've gotten something, don't you think?
Yes, very much so. And I think that when we are in tune with our past lives, it creates a great deal of compassion for us in our current life. What I mean by that is that knowing that our past lives are going to be all over the spectrum, and we're going to look at some of those past lives and think, oh, my gosh, I did what? And other times look at a past life and say, well, it was pretty good. What it does is to give us compassion, knowing that when we see someone in this current life who is doing something that we may not agree with, we can understand that, hey, you know what? Maybe in a past life I did some of that same kind of thing, and therefore I can develop a greater compassion and understanding for my fellow human beings.
Yeah, and that's true, but I don't like it when somebody says, oh, well, he's mean to you now because you were so mean to him in a past life. Somebody will make a judgment like that out of thin air, and that can be hurtful too, so you have to be careful how you use that. Let's have your website again, Barbara.
My website is Barbara K. Foltz, BarbaraKFolts.com.
Okay, and I'm Elizabeth Joyce. This is Let's Find Out, and my website is www.new-visions.com, and we'll be back after this break.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free holistic publications, with 150,000 copies printed bimonthly in three regional print editions, New England, New York, and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania and Delaware. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information to the community. Elizabeth Joyce writes the astrology column for Wisdom Magazine. Visit us at wisdommagazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone radio show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone radio and TV show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Opening your spiritual chakras is the next stage of your physical body's shifting reality. Your body is now merging with your etheric or universal body and the new spiritual chakra centers. You will begin to experience a realm of many vibrant, prismatic colors and dancing energy patterns will emerge. By opening your spiritual chakras and merging with your universal body, you will come together in marvelous ways, and new spiritual powers will begin to emerge into your body system. The chakras are your major energy centers, and they allow you to transform your physical body and integrate with its spiritual body to function properly in the new fifth dimension energies. To accomplish these complex intertwining procedures, the spiritual hierarchy intends to bring forth 4 additional chakras as soon as possible: the 8th, the 8.5, the 9th, and the 10th. These 4 new chakra centers will permit you to manage the immensity of multidimensional information inherent to your new physical body. The physical body will be walking in sync with the universal body. In addition, the 4 spiritual chakras will transform the other 7, thereby allowing them to take on many new responsibilities. Elizabeth Joyce has created a new CD to help you open your spiritual chakras. This is very valuable and is one of the primary ways needed for you to begin the ascension process and work well in the fifth dimension energies that are now coming onto the planet. In addition to the 4 spiritual chakras and the 7 regular physical chakras, there is an extra chakra, the foot chakra, or the zero chakra. This is your earth grounding center, and it is located at the balls of your feet. Above the crown chakra are 4 more numbers, 8, 10, 11, and 12. The main purpose of these extended chakras, which has always been a part of the energetic field, including our aura, is to enable the individual to tune into his or her inner God self, the divine will, and even the galactic community that surrounds and supports the earth in its evolution. This is a CD that you will want to have and work with on a daily basis between now and December 21st, 2012. It is available here at bbsradio.com under the Let's Find Out page, as well as Elizabeth Joyce's personal website, www.new-vision.com. Be sure to get the CD, Opening Your Spiritual Chakras, with music by Richard Shulman, so that you can advance yourself and find security in these new, wonderful fifth dimension energies. Again, that's www.new-visions.com or bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out.
Are you suffering from self-doubt or self-worth issues? Is fear the barrier between you and the life of your desires? Hi, my name is John Davis, also known as John of Peniel. I've been helping people break through their personal fear barriers for more than a decade. These people have altered their lives in miraculous ways. By breaking through the fear barrier, they have healed their bodies, their finances, their relationships, and more. This October, I'm offering to only 10 people the opportunity to work with me personally to break through the fear barrier. We're keeping the numbers small so each person will have ample time to work with me directly to make the most change. This transformative weekend is being held in beautiful Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. For more information, go to www.breakingthefearbarrier.com. Remember, this is only open to 10 people and spaces are already filling, so sign up today at www.breakingthefearbarrier.com.
You're listening to Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet radio talk show on the planet. Elizabeth Joyce and her guests come to you every other Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a podcast of the show will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link on the Let's Find Out page at bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce.
January to December, we'll have moments to the New Year's Eve, we did the town. The day we tore the goalpost down. We will have these moments to remember. The quiet walks, the noisy fun, the ball.
Moments to Remember by the Four Lads. Sorry, this is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out. And we're talking tonight about legacies and past life memories and how to heal our life to the optimum point of health. And my guest is Barbara Folks, and she is a psychologist as well as a past life therapist. And Barbara, do you think the Four Lads knew they were giving such a legacy when they recorded that song?
I know. I love how we can interpret songs for our purposes, our own purposes. And I absolutely believe that there are moments to remember. And if we remember, we increase our soul's maturity and development, and that's why we're here. We have incarnated for our souls to learn and experience.
You know what has me curious, Barbara? You've been doing this for how many years now? Since 2000?
Yes.
Why did it take you so long to write your book? I want to know what drove you to write the book and tell us a little bit about what's in it.
Well, I began to journal what I was going through. So as I uncovered these different past lives, I journaled about them, and someone suggested to me, you know, maybe you should write a book. So I began to start thinking in those terms. And I have to tell you that even though it's taken 10 years for me to come to this point, I believe that I needed that 10 years to really develop my own understanding and maturity around this subject. The book that I would have written in 2004 would not have been as good as the book that I've written now. And so,
and that's because you've learned more since then?
I've learned more, I've experienced more, and I have learned to trust that the universe has a plan for me, and I will follow along with it. And I must say that there are times when I get surprised with what the universe is asking me to do, but if I follow it along, it does turn out well.
I know these twists and turns of the road are quite something. You get yourself you get yourself on one road, and then all of a sudden it changes. I'm the one. I go through cycles of 5 years and 7 years. I'll tell you a little bit. My first husband, I married, and I had my children with my first husband, and we split because I found that he was gay. And after 8 years, we no longer lived together. Then I met the man that I fell in love with, who was, I thought, my soulmate. And we were together 3 years, and he died. And then I had a long time between that and now. I'm married to Don Swaim, who is from CBS News Radio 88, and he's a very different experience. So I've had these three experiences, and you wonder if the soul really did choose that.
You know, I think that there is certainly a very good possibility that your soul decided between lives that you needed to experience these relationships and to do it sequentially.
When I was a little girl, I can remember being 4 and 5 years old, and my mother would say how you marry forever and you only have one man and all these things. And I looked her right in the eye and I said, I'll be married three times. She says, oh, don't say that. I said, well, I'm saying it because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
I was 4 years old. I think that's fascinating.
Well, and you know what they say about young children is that they remember the past life experiences and the between life understandings. And then once they become 6 or 7, they begin to lose that. It's sort of like the amnesiac veil comes down and they don't remember it as much. I'm reminded of a story of I've included in the book, and this little girl who was 3 was in the car in the back seat, and her mother and friend were talking about an uncle who had just recently died, and they were sad about the fact that he died, and she piped up, oh, he'll love heaven. Heaven is a lot of fun. He's going to enjoy it. And they all just sort of like, oh, okay. And the whole mood just changed because she remembered that heaven was fun and was able to share that.
Well, so they say there's no pain in heaven, and so if that's true, I imagine we're all going to think heaven's a little fun.
I think so, too. Yes, I think that heaven is full of love, love that is greater than we can even possibly imagine.
and sometimes we get a taste of it. I know that when I've been meditating with Amma in my summer meditations, I feel this great heartbeat of love. It is so powerful, but you can't keep it with you. It doesn't stay. You wish that it could. However, I believe with the new energies that are coming on the planet, with the fifth dimension energies, that we're going to have more and more of this greater love.
Yes, so, it is a treasure when you can get a sensation of that, a glimpse of it. It's almost like there are times when I can remember what it was like to be in that between life, in that spiritual world, and I treasure that.
I do in my sleep. I did a lot of traveling when I was younger. We didn't have the Facebook and the computers and the iPhone when I was little. We didn't even have television. And I can remember the way that I would entertain myself would be to lie down on the bed, close my eyes, and take a trip.
Hmm.
And I could go anywhere.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Well, it's been wonderful having you on the air tonight, Barbara. I really appreciate your time, and I would love to have you back at some point so that we can learn more about reincarnation and past life regression.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, and my hope is that I have been able to help people to expand their thinking and to look at the possibilities of exploring past lives. I think there's so much that can be gained by doing that.
And I'm sure you'd like to hear from people in our audience, so please give your website again.
That's Barbara K. Folds, and the last name is folts.com. I would love to hear from you. I have a newsletter, and I write different articles, and you can access that at the website, and I would love to be able to hear what questions you have.
And your information in this pod is on bbsradio.com under Let's Find Out. Thank you, Barbara, and I'm sure that we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
And now it's time to prepare for the meditation, and we are going to get ready. The name of the meditation is Unlocking Your Soul's Trunk. It was written by Barbara Folts, and it was recorded by myself. I just wanted to talk a little bit about September. September's coming, and so is fall, and we are going to have Mark Dodich back, our astrologer, who will be talking about the last quarter of 2011 and what we can expect. I wanted to close with this thought. If we can create one peaceful moment in a time of war and tragedy, we are shape-shifting the future and removing fear while altering the outcome and creating our new reality. Begin something new. Write a poem. Visit an ill friend. Help guide a child. Sing your favorite song to your favorite person. Stand on your moral principles. Put a smile on the face of another human being, because that is always a gift from God. Welcome to your new reality. And now, let's begin the meditation. Good night.
This meditation was composed by Barbara Folts and recorded by Elizabeth Joyce. Settle down and make yourself comfortable. You can sit in a chair with both feet flat on the floor. You can lay down on your bed, or you can lay down on the floor, whatever you're comfortable with. Begin to take several deep breaths. With each breath that you take, allow the tension to begin to ease. Breathe in peace. Breathe out tension. Breathe in peace. Breathe out tension. Take as much time as you want, as much time as you need. Allow your breath to begin to take you to that place and space where you can let go of all tensions and replace it with relaxation. Take your time. Thank you. Now focus on your arms as they rest comfortably. Bring your total focus to your arms. Allow them to become warm and heavy until it almost seems as though they are attached to the arms of the chair or the bed or the floor. Or perhaps they are resting on your thighs and you can feel heat radiating from your arms into your body. As your arms become more and more warm and heavy, you may feel sensations in your arms. Continue to let your arms rest. And now they are very warm. And now they are very heavy. Allow yourself to experience this. Take your time. And now you can begin to turn your attention to the rest of your body. Focus on your head, becoming aware of whatever tensions you may feel in your scalp. Imagine that they are melting away and that your scalp is free to relax. Now tune into your neck. You may wish to gently stretch out any tensions that you feel in your neck. Your neck is strong enough to support your head and flexible enough to move as you wish. So allow your neck to just rest comfortably on your shoulders, flexible and at ease. Now focus on your shoulders. Allow the muscles in your shoulders to relax. They carry so many burdens, and now is the time to just let everything go. Let go of the responsibilities and concerns you carry. If you need to pick them up at the end of this time, they'll be waiting for you at the door. Now this is your time to just put them all aside and enjoy this respite from all of your cares and worries. The more you set them aside now, the more you will be able to deal with them later, and your head will be clear. Perhaps the more you relax now, the less important these burdens will become. Tune into your upper chest. Be aware of the slow beating of your heart. It pumps blood through your entire body, keeping it alive and vital. Let it do its job as you relax more and more. Now focus on the lower part of your body, your abdomen, your stomach, your hips, your thighs. Release the muscles in your abdomen and your stomach and hip area and become aware of what it feels like to let all the muscles relax. Now turn your attention to your legs. Let the muscles in your thighs relax. Let the muscles in your knees and calves relax. Imagine the relaxation moving all the way down into your feet. As your whole body is free of tension, imagine that the tension has drained out from your head, all the way down through your body, down through your legs, and out through the bottom of your feet. You may feel that your whole body is encased in white light and enveloped in peace and safety. At the very essence of this body that you have now relaxed is your soul. Your soul is made up of energy, energy that is indestructible. Your soul has resided in all the human forms that have made up your many lifetimes. Like a pebble that has gently dropped into a pool of water and generates consecrated circles, each of those circles represents one of your lifetimes out of the past, a lifetime that your soul has lived through. One of those rings of life has a meaning for you in this lifetime, today. Allow your mind to go back in time, to a time that is meaningful for the concerns of this lifetime today. All the way back, more and more, your unconscious mind is aware of when the time clock needs to stop, even as your conscious mind desires some sign of a past life. Or perhaps it is the conscious mind that can visualize the pages of a calendar flipping back through time, while the unconscious understands just when the time clock will come to a rest and at the correct spot. Just step back and trust, remembering that the greater wisdom of the universe is always there to guide you. Take the time you need to allow whatever is important to emerge. Perhaps an image will come to mind, or a word pop out, or maybe even a scene, like watching a television program. Maybe you're aware of a sensation in your body. Whatever occurs, bring your focus onto that and let it unfold. This is the time to let the unconscious mind take control, as your conscious mind steps back and becomes the observer. It may seem like you're sitting in the front row of a movie theater watching a movie that's unrolling in front of your eyes, or perhaps like a photograph that gives you an image. And now, extend an invitation for the past life energy to send a message about its concerns. Open your mind and your heart as you allow that message from your past life to come through to your present life. Open your mind and your heart. As this image moves to the front of your mind, let the image expand and adjust and move. Walk through it as if you were walking in a three-dimensional movie. It has a mind of its own, so relax and just trust the process. You are now walking through one of your past lives. And the message that it has for you relates to a problem, a pain, or a blockage in this lifetime. See it, feel it, and let it go.
invite the past life energy to expose the symptom, to expose the fear, to expose the reason, which will help you find the significance of what you are feeling and experiencing today. Watch, listen, and see. There may be a message there that can lead you to a great understanding, kind of like a past life leftover. What do you need to learn? What do you need to understand? What do you need to remember and bring forward to help and guide you to heal? Remember that you can remain the observer of this past life while you are watching it and be perfectly safe. You do not have to feel the past life emotions. You just have to gain the knowledge. You are having this experience so that you can learn. You are responsible only for today. This is a past life, and it should remain in the past. But the lessons that the soul learned can come forward with you today. Ask your spirit guides and your angels to help you to understand the significance of what you were experiencing. Then, listen to your inner wisdom. You may only be aware of this specific lifetime and what is occurring in it, or you may begin to understand how this past life is connected to your current life, the life you are living now. Trust that whatever you are experiencing is exactly what is needed for your highest good at this time. Perhaps you recognize some of the people from the past in your lifetime now. Perhaps your son was your father, or your mother was your grandmother. You will know, you will feel, whatever the circumstances were. You may want to communicate some words of support and wisdom to the person who you were in this past life. Or you may just want to stay as the observer. Perhaps simply acknowledging the issue of the past life feels good and you understand enough. And you may find that taking deep breaths through the difficulties that this experience is showing you in the past is the best approach for your healing right now. So do that. Take some deep breaths and continue understanding and watching this experience. Thank you.
And as you're going through that, perhaps there's another past life that begins to appear. Don't shut it down. Allow yourself to drift into that second past life. It just is going to move up to the front of your mind. Let the image expand and adjust and move on its own. It has a mind of its own, and you can always trust the process. Sometimes the gift of spirit brings more than one past life for us to visualize during this exercise. It's like that hidden trunk up in the attic. Let's open the lid and bring some light to those discarded and saved experiences, thoughts, and feelings. Put a light on it. Pick it up. Shake off the dust and bring it up into modern times, the time of now. Take some deep breaths and let yourself continue in the process. After you have spent this time with what you wish or what you need to find out, you can begin the process of coming out of this meditation. Take several deep breaths and begin to bring energy back into your body. Become more aware of the here and now, and let the light from the crown chakra come on down and embrace your body as you begin to feel the energy returning to your arms, to your torso, to your legs. Stretch your body and move your head as you become more and more aware of your entire being. Come back as slowly or as quickly as you want. You can open your eyes and you can look around you. Or you can stay in this divine state a little longer. You may want to rub your hands on the surface on which you are reclining to help yourself become grounded. Another good technique is to take the right thumb and press it into the palm of the left hand. And when you do this, bring the white light into the crown chakra and all the way down to the bottom of your feet. This is going to help you become grounded, safe, and secure in your body. Now that you have completed your meditation, take some time to assess what you have experienced. Write it down. And perhaps through the week, you may want to make notes as you reflect and remember on this past life regression experience. Process the connection that it has to your current lifetime. in the next hours and days to come, be aware of any reactions you have or any dreams. Make note of any changes in the symptoms that you are focusing on, or the problem, or the energetic relief that you've received. Don't be surprised if the idea of what you wanted to concentrate on in the meditation is different from what actually transpires. Be assured that whatever you have experienced was exactly what was right for you at this time. Your goal is to be open to whatever insights you can gain from this process. It's nothing that can be forced. Continue to practice going into a meditative state and being open to the information about your past life legacies. You may find that the legacy is healing through this meditative work. And you also may find that it will be helpful to you to explore this information further or to do another regression at another time. Remember, you are always safe. You are always wrapped in the white light of the love of God. And you are always guided by your instincts as to what steps to take or what decision you need to make. Take some deep breaths. Stretch. Feel yourself completely in your body now. Take a moment to surround yourself with white light, protecting your aura, sealing off your aura, and guiding you as you come back into the process of living this lifetime. Now you are ready to go on with your day. And if you want to do another regression, you know how to do that. So smile, feel good, and enjoy all the releasing and healing that has just occurred. Mm-hmm.